Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Hi there, welcome to my channel. Now we shall be taking a recap of all the 12 basic signs of zodiac, starting with Aries and going up till Pisces. This is an introduction to it. If you are new to my channel, don't forget to subscribe and share these videos. These are all educational videos, and we shall discuss more deep dive into Namamsha later on. But these are the basic approaches. I've always found it useful to first capture the basic approach. Always have these rules in mind. Ascendant sign, all the significations of the ascendant, where the lord of the ascendant is placed, be it D1, D9, D10, any of the divisional charts. That's the first step. That's what your soul is searching for. Number two, house placement. The sign has the quality of that house. If Aries is placed in fifth house, so the quality of the fifth house now takes on Aries kind of energy. That's why we have to cover it in energetic terms. With respect to the planet or ruler of that house, this assigns the quality to the house. Okay? Whichever sign and whichever house placement, that's what we are talking about. So second is the house placement. So the order in which you cover this is house as the area of life. Fifth house being education, children, your love and romance, that kind of thing, right? Area of life. Sign assigns as a quality and nakshatra as a refinement of that quality. Basic rule, okay? Follow this everywhere. Because as we tend to go deeper and deeper into astrology, we tend to forget some basic rules. The fourth step is check the relationship between the houses 2, 12, 3, 11, 4, 10, which I've already covered in this playlist, okay? That comes the fourth step. So follow this step-by-step approach, and we will never go wrong in our approach to handling the natal or the Navamsha or the Jaimini Karakas, which will come later on. All right. Now let's talk about Gemini, number 3. So we'll talk about the 3-11 kind of relationships here. So tie this into the 3-11 relationship video, which I did earlier on this playlist. Okay. So first of all, Geminis, number 3. Ruled by Mercury, it's a Vaishya sign, and although it is called Tamas dual and female, Mercury is basically a genderless planet. Mercury and Saturn are genderless planets. So the sign ruled by them have got an open check, so to speak, to execute conscious energy. Think of signs 3, 6, 10 and 11. The house is ruled by Gemini and Saturn. Saturn is also a genderless planet. We will see that further. As conscious choices, your free will to execute however and whatever you choose. So you have to develop these signs, Gemini, Virgo, Capricorn and Aquarius, consciously. It's not going to be something handed to you automatically. These are the conscious karmic action that you have to execute this lifetime. Okay. So let us see, first of all, what does it mean? Mercury in Gemini means communication, means paperwork, means awards and badges. Number 3 is where you get your badges and awards. People look after, you know, let it be the people in uniform, all the men and women in uniform, right? The military, the police, the people who are after their degrees, to show off their degrees, PhDs, so on and so forth. Awards and badges. Think of everything related to awards and badges. Kids. Mercury stands for kids. The young prince, as it is typically symbolified, the young prince who's learning things of life. It's a very self-centered sign, meaning it wants to do everything for the sake of gains. That's why the relationship of 3 and 11, doing something in order to get some gains out of it. That's the 3-11, if you remember. Typically in Gemini, they will not heed advice. This is the downside of that. They want to talk but do not want to listen. That's Gemini. Too much talking and not much listening. The listening part is the Guru part, or the Sagittarius, opposite to number 3. Right? Gemini is opposite to Sagittarius. Gemini is also about friends. It's about your neighbors. It's about siblings. It's about hand skills. What you cultivate as hand skills stands for the arms. It is also your subconscious brain and your conscious mind. What goes at the back of your head and what is in the frontal cortex of your brain. Both is Gemini. So you're processing everything through the mind and through the brain. Okay? Conscious mind is your frontal cortex. Subconscious brain goes to the back of your head. Processing inputs. How do you process everything physically through your 5 sensory inputs? What does your brain process it like? That's Gemini. Your intellect, your intellectual capacity, your courage, your hobbies, your curiosities, it's very curious, and your sense of humor and intelligence. Okay. So all of the number one, like you can estimate, is all based on your conscious development, how you consciously develop things. Also think of third position from any house, like I talked about in 3-11 relationships. So what does planets do here? Let's just briefly see that. Planets in Gemini take on the energy of checking, how can I profit from this person or situation or event, whatever I'm faced with. So it's a trader's mentality. Gemini is a perfect trader. Mercury being a Vaishya planet and being neutral, no preferences, Mercury also tends to take on the attributes of whatever it is placed with. So you got to be careful about that. It has no character of its own. It is pretty characterless energy. Think of it in energy terms here. All of us are Gemini in one place or the other, right? So it's just relatively speaking. So it's a trader's mentality with a profit motive. That's the 3-11 relationship behind everything that they do. If I speak, what am I going to gain from it? Mercury is speech in Gemini. It is neutral, meaning it takes on the energy of whatever it is conjunct with. The lord of that house or the aspects looking at it and so on. It has no individual personality. Mercury is intellect, subconscious and conscious intelligence to absorb, to act on and cultivate skill sets in. So with benefic planets, it will take on those attributes, and malefic planets, it will take on those attributes. It's better, of course, obviously with benefics, it will think about life. With malefics, it will think about things, logic, mathematics, calculus, machines, tasks to be done. With benefics, it will think about people, heart, what your communication is doing to others. So Mercury is very malleable in nature, in Gemini and in Virgo. It depends upon who it is sitting in, whose house it is sitting in, or conjunct with, or aspected by. Think of always Mercury like that. It is neutral, it has no gender. Mercury is duality. That's why both Mercury and signs are dual in nature. Both Virgo and Gemini is dual. What do you mean by duality in this context? It means always faced with choices. It's a question of choice and you have to make it. Nobody is going to do it for you, whatever is sitting in Gemini and Virgo. You have to take that decision and you have to take the consequences thereof yourself. It's not going to be made for you. This is a conscious area. So duality means it can become too lazy or too active, too talkative or too quiet. Always looking for trade-offs. So what's in it for me is the question Mercury asks in Gemini and even in Virgo. That's where the challenge comes. What do you draw the boundary line from with respect to yourself and with respect to the world, all the people around you? Now, taking point number 2 into consideration, planets, what do they do here? Now, if Sun sits here, considering the trader's mentality of Gemini, how can I profit from this thing? So Sun putting here will give respect, power, position, ego, and government. So it will think about what can I get from the government. How do I get things when I get respect and power? Or how do I get respect and power? Right? That's what it thinks. Mercury, Sun placed in Gemini. Moon placed in Gemini will think, how can I think about my mother? How can I use my mother to get my benefit or my ends and means of things? How can I benefit from a home or property? Because it's a trader mentality, I'm picking those karakas only which are related to trade. How can I benefit from travel? You know, trying to go on an official trip and trying to make more money out of it. Moon in Gemini, sign of Gemini. Okay, lots of short travels there because Moon is also for travels. Mars, on the other hand, will think of logic, focus and reasoning and use that as the means for trading, as the means for understanding technical things. Mars is a highly technical planet. Mars is related to things, remember? What we saw in Aries, it's got everything signature of logical things. So these are the techie people. They can get techie when Mars is in Gemini. It has a very logical approach to things. Mercury itself will think about how to use my communication for the sake of getting what I want. How do I use my technical intelligence, which is again Mercury? How do I carry out paperwork? How do I process information in a way that will be benefiting me? How do I create new ideas that will benefit me? How do I use my speech for my benefit? Same way with Jupiter. It will use knowledge and education to be talking. It will try to pretend. Mercury is a great pretender because it's mimicking, right? So it will try to use its knowledge for the sake of self-benefit. In Venus, it will use its clothes, wealth. It will use its business, family, all these kind of Venus attributes. Number two, Taurus, it will use for the sake of its own benefit if Venus is in Gemini. Saturn, on the other hand, will use its work because Saturn is a karaka of work. Rahu and Ketu will do inordinate stuff and use marketing skills in Rahu, for example. Rahu in Gemini is a very good marketing person. It knows how to manipulate. Rahu is very, very shrewd. It wants to get stuff for itself. Ketu in Gemini, on the other hand, becomes a bad communicator. It kind of tends to stammer because it's in the house of Mercury. Mercury is of communication. Ketu is breaks in all kinds of things. So that's what are the general karakas. Now let's see ascendants 1 to 12. When we take the Aries ascendant, Gemini is falling in the natural third house. So whatever skill sets you cultivate, who will stand to benefit? The 11th place from it, that is you. You will stand to benefit. You will grow as a personality if you cultivate the third house from here, right? And it is ruled by Mercury. What else does the third house stand for? It stands for elder siblings. If you want to know what the talents and areas your elder sibling has to cultivate, look at the third spot from there, number fifth house. Third spot from the third house is the fifth house. So if you have some planets and points, I'm taking a generalistic view here. If you want to know what talents your elder siblings have and what they should cultivate it in, look at the planets in your fifth house, because that will be the talents and areas of your elder sibling. What about spouse? Third place from Leo is the house of spouse from 5 to 7. What is number 5? Is ruled by the sun, your children. Your children's talent is in number 7. So what talents do your children need to cultivate that will be shown in number 7? You can keep going like that. Whatever needs to be cultivated, higher learning, is in the 7th house. Third from the 7th house is the 9th house. So if you cultivate the skills for higher learning wisdom, what changes? The gain will be your attitude towards your spouse will change, because this is the 7th place, this is your spouse. And you can go on interpreting multiple ways like that. That's Aries. Let's see Taurus. Now Gemini falls in the second house, right? What does this lead to for a Taurus ascendant? Number 3 is in the second sign, so it's in the sign of family. Yes. So for the Taurus ascendant, they will know and cultivate how to make food. They will not listen to you for a second. You are trying to tell them to change the recipe. They will not do it. Why? Because they have already made up the mind. Mercury tends to make up its mind before anything else. Difficult to communicate with Gemini because they are the ones who are doing the talking. So you can't explain anything to them about food. See? That's where the energy is being carried over. What about Gemini ascendant itself? Well, these people are difficult to communicate with. They are the talkers. They are the originators of communication. So now they bring it to the rest of the areas of their life. What about Cancer ascendant? Now the Cancer ascendant, Gemini has gone to the 12th house. So this is a sort of a loss of speech. Because 12th house from the ascendant means there is a loss of that, right? With respect to the ascendant. So Cancer ascendant are typically not very good at communication. As a default, doesn't matter where Mercury is placed. The reason being, Gemini has gone to the 12th house. So for a Cancer ascendant, you cannot tell them how to spend money. They have already made up their mind about how to spend money. Right? Wherever Gemini goes, they have made up their mind about that aspect. For a Leo, they have made up their mind about how to get gains. Where do I get gains from? Right? How to maintain public relations. So for a Leo ascendant, it's very difficult to tell them how to do it. They'll tell it, I want to do it my own way. The Leo pride comes in there. I know how to deal with the masses, how to talk to the masses, because third sign is of talking. For Virgo, it comes in the sign of profession. Like I have seen a practical case of one of my friends. I told him your Mercury is sitting in the 10th house in the sign of Gemini. And he is a Virgo. So I told him you need to cultivate your speaking skills, communications. Communication is very bad. But he has never managed to even take one single advice. See? Mercury does not want to listen. That's the challenge Mercury is always facing. Yeah? For a Libra ascendant, it is difficult to talk to them about religion matters, about higher spirituality matters, because they have already made up their mind what religion is about, for them at least. Okay. For a Scorpio ascendant, it is difficult to talk to them about inheritance. It is difficult to talk to them about others' wealth, because they already know what it means. This is the wise guy kind of attitude of Gemini. It's very self-centered, tends to think only about itself. And they have made up their mind, whatever it is, that they are right. They will listen to your advice, but they take only pieces of it which interests them. It's like the Simon and Garfunkel song, Boxer, if you know what I mean. All lies in, just till a man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. That's Gemini at its best. Mercury is intelligence. So you are using your intelligence, but you are not being very constructive about it. For the Sagittarius ascendant, it falls in the sign of spouse. The spouse will not listen to them. Sagittarius ascendants have a difficult time with the spouse because the spouse thinks, I know better. They are ruled by Jupiter. They are faced with a student. It's a student-teacher relationship when you come to this 3, 6, 9 and 12. See, both are Jupiter and both are Mercury. They are faced with one another. Sort of a face-off situation here going on. And always examine the 3-11 relationships with respect to how to improve this, right? If you consider house number 3, start with 1, from between 1 to 3. If you start to develop, you can analyze this multiple ways. I'm just thinking aloud here. If the Sagittarius ascendant starts to learn about love and romance, learns different things, initiates different kind of actions, the 5th house, it will improve the relations with the spouse who is sitting in Gemini. He needs to learn this stuff because Aries is sitting in the house of education and love as well. For a Capricorn, they need to use a lot of communication. They need to listen to people, colleagues at work, because 6th house is the house of work. And they need to be careful not to take too many loans and debts, because this is a trader mentality. It wants all the gains for itself. How do I improve this? How do I improve this third house? See the third place from itself, because 3-11 relationship is all about gains. What do I do? What skills do I cultivate in order to achieve the proper skill set? The third place from itself, Leo. So the Capricorn needs to cultivate a sense of Leo-like energies, which we shall see in the further videos. It needs to bring in the Sun energy to the 8th house, means uncover hidden stuff. It needs to do a lot of research. 8th house is the house of research. Not just occult, but any kind of research. Doing more of research for a Capricorn ascendant gives them better skills at their workplace. Aquarius. Now Gemini is in the 5th house of education. Okay. So it needs to be able to listen to the teacher. Aquarius people have a difficult time in their education because they refuse to accept their teacher as their teacher. They have better things to say than what their teacher knows. Problems in education if it comes in the 5th house, because this was originally the 3rd house. Now it has landed itself in the 5th place. So needs to be careful about that. Aquarius students in your class are typically very rebellious in nature, because they do the talking, they do not want to listen. Finally, Pisces, they are very talkative at home. They become quiet in the profession. Opposite house is very quiet. Sagittarius is the quiet sign. This is the opposite of being quiet. Like, they're very talkative at home, they become very quiet in their profession. Pisces ascendant, right? So always understand it from the perspective of these core qualities and planet placements. Then it will help you understand better how to manage it. Next, we shall talk about Cancer. Take care, be safe.